Good afternoon.
If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, that's where we'll begin here this afternoon. Hebrews chapter 10. There in Hebrews chapter 10, the inspired writer is encouraging the Christians he's writing to endure through the sufferings that they are either currently enduring or will be going through soon. And he tells them there in verse 36, he says, "For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." That phrase, "you have need of patience," is a phrase that applies to all of us, as patience is something that God desires us to add to our character and to our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit through Peter talked about adding to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, he then said, "To knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." And so the character that we're developing as we are putting on Christ and seeking to become more like Him needs to include that character trait that's described as patience. And so I want to look here this afternoon for a few minutes about this topic of patience to try to better understand what patience is and how it will be manifested in various situations that we find ourselves in that are exemplified in Scripture. And so we first just want to take a step back and ask this question: what is patience? Patience is a word that we use a lot in our vocabulary today, but we want to really understand what is it that we're talking about when we talk about patience, especially when we look at how the Bible uses this term. And the definition for the word patience is in your handouts there. It's hopeful or cheerful endurance, constancy. And I think that word constancy is key and helps us to understand what patience is. If you turn to Romans chapter 2 and in verse 7, in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 7, there the inspired writer is talking about the kind of people who will inherit eternal life or receive that eternal reward. He points out it's those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. And that phrase, patient continuance in well-doing, I think helps us to understand what patience is. It is constancy. It is having the type of commitment that we will serve God to the best of our ability regardless of what circumstances come into our lives, regardless of how things are going for us, how others are treating us, we are going to serve God to the best of our ability. Luke 8:15 is another verse that helps us to understand this. In Luke chapter 8 and in verse 15, there Jesus is concluding his explanation of the parable of the sower. And he points out that the seed that fell on good ground in this parable represents those who, he says, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit, he says, with patience. And to understand that word patience and the way it's used there, it's helpful to understand the different types of ground that different seed fell on here in this parable. You had some seed in this parable that fell among thorns, and it would perhaps do some good, but those thorns would choke the word, and it would become unprofitable or unfruitful. And so you have some individuals who receive the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of life, they choke the word and prevent that person from producing the enduring, lasting fruit that they should. Then you have other individuals who receive seed in stony places or in rocky soil. And that represents individuals who receive the word with joy, and at first it does a lot of good in their lives. They might be excited, might be zealous for serving God, but that zeal doesn't last. When tribulation comes, they fall away. But then Jesus says in verse 15, there's some seed that falls on good ground. And he mentions those individuals are individuals who bear fruit or bring forth fruit with patience. And I think this helps us to get a picture of what patience is as it's, this word is used in Scripture. There are a lot of individuals who do good things for a time, but it doesn't last. It doesn't endure because they don't have patience. And when we look at how patience is often used in Scripture, it's used to describe that commitment that we have that is lasting, that is enduring, no matter what we might face. And so sometimes when the Bible talks about patience, it talks about the need for patience when things are tough or when things are difficult. If you turn to James chapter 5, James chapter 5 and verses 10 and 11, in James 5 verses 10 and 11, there the inspired writer says, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So he talks about the need for patience here, and he gives the example of the prophets who have endured suffering, but he specifically mentions there the example of Job. And when we think about Job's example, Job is somebody who was blessed immensely by God, had lots of riches, lots of wealth, lots of good things came his way here on earth. And then Satan tempted Job by taking much of that away. He took away his children, took away his servants, took away his possessions, his livestock. And as if that weren't enough, Satan then came and smote Job with sore boils and put him in a lot of pain and anguish physically. And Satan expected that that would cause Job to want to give in and curse God to his face. And even Job's wife thought, "Why don't you curse God and die? Why are you continuing to serve God through all of this?" But Job said to his wife, he said, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not receive evil?" He said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the point that Job was making is, I'm going to serve God faithfully no matter what. Sometimes good comes in my life, sometimes bad comes in my life, but I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability regardless of what circumstances come into my life. And that needs to be the attitude of all of us. And that's a lot of what patience involves, is it's continuance in well-doing regardless of what our earthly circumstances are like. And we see Job exemplify that well. And he points out there in verse 11, "You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord's very pitiful and tender mercy." We know the end of the book of Job. We know what ends up happening as Job ends up being rewarded for his perseverance and for remaining, for the most part, faithful. God ends up restoring all those things that were taken away from him. We've not physically seen heaven, that reward that's coming to us if we're faithful, but we read about it in Scripture, and as we look to that hope of heaven, that can anchor us and should anchor us to be faithful to the Lord no matter how difficult our circumstances might be. And one specific tough circumstances or type of tough circumstances that we face that's talked about in Scripture is when we face persecution. Sometimes we might have difficult circumstances that are tragedies, that are health problems and so forth, and Job suffered a lot of those things. But other times we have struggles that are a result of persecution, and God again stresses the need for patience in these situations. If you turn to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and in verse 12, there in Romans chapter 12, the inspired writer speaks of the need for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, to surrender completely to Him and allow Him to transform us into the kind of people He desires. And what happens as a result of making that choice is described in verses 3 through 21 of this chapter. This is the type of character that we'll be developing as we say to God, "Lord, please mold me and make me after your will." This is the kind of character we'll be developing. And notice what he mentions there in verse 12 as a part of this. He says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." So he stresses the need for us to be patient in tribulation. And a lot of the tribulation that was faced by individuals Paul wrote to was a result of persecution. He commended the brethren at Thessalonica along with Silas and Timothy when they wrote to them, said, "We ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations you endure." And so if we are suffering wrongfully at the hands of others, we need to be patient through that. We need to serve the Lord faithfully through that. And a lot of what that was in New Testament times was physical persecution, but we face a lot of mental persecution as well. And we need to be patient through that. We need to endure. We need to serve God faithfully. And that's a lot of the focus of patience as God instructs us to have patience in His Word. But something that is closely related to this, that's a little bit different point that I want to make about patience, is the need for us to be patient as we wait for our reward. And what I mean by this is we live in a society where we talked about sexual immorality and related sins this morning, and a lot of the motivation for people who engage in those things that we talked about that were sinful this morning are individuals who are just looking for instant gratification, looking for pleasures right here, right now. And that's the society in which we live, whether it be things that pertain to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, looking at some possession, thinking, I got to have it, I got to have it right now, the pride of life, whatever it might be. We live in a society where individuals want to have pleasure, want to have comfort, and we want it right now. But we don't want to have to wait for things. And in God's Word, we see the need stressed for us to be patient as we wait for our reward. It's interesting as you think about Paul's sufferings that he faced. He told Timothy there in 2 Timothy 1:12, backing up to verse 11, he says, I'm suffering a lot of persecutions because of my role as a preacher, as a teacher, as an apostle. He says, for the which cause I suffer these things. But he says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And it's interesting when you think about Paul's endurance through those things that he suffered. Paul didn't say, well, I'm able to continue through these things that I'm suffering because pretty soon here on earth, I know my circumstances are going to get better. He didn't think, well, pretty soon I've got a promotion coming, I've got a raise coming, and right now I'm not able to have everything I'd like, but pretty soon I'll be able to. That wasn't Paul's mindset at all. Paul didn't know, as he was here on earth, he didn't know from day to day if things were going to get better or if things were going to get worse. As far as he knew, he may face even more persecution, even more hardships the next day, the next week, the next month. But that wasn't where his hope was grounded. That wasn't where his treasure was at. It wasn't here on earth. His treasure was in heaven. And his hope was focused on heaven. And that's what anchored him to be patient as he endured through the things that he went through. And that's a really important point for us to take to heart, because even as Christians, we can develop this mindset where we want to have our circumstances just perfect as we're here on earth. And we just work so hard to whatever it might be that's really important to us, possessions, whatever it is, to just make our circumstances as perfect as we can be. And we might even look forward at times and say, well, right now, things aren't what I wish they were, but pretty soon, I've got this coming and so forth. And it's not wrong to seek to improve our circumstances on earth. It's not wrong to seek to have certain things that bring us comfort here on earth. But that shouldn't be where our treasure is at. That shouldn't be what our hope is grounded in. We should have the mindset of, well, no matter what I face here on earth, and sometimes I have good things, sometimes I have bad things, but my hope is in heaven. And that's why I'm able to patiently endure through these things that I go through. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, there Paul commended the brethren at Thessalonica for their patience of hope. And we need to have a patience of hope, meaning we need to have a hope that is laid up in heaven, a reward that we're seeking eternally, that we patiently wait for, realizing that it is going to come if we are faithful. If you turn back to James 5 again, in James chapter 5, we'll look at verses 7 and 8 this time. In James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, there the inspired writer says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So here the inspired writer points out the need for patience. And he uses the example here, if you think about a farmer who waits on the rain, a farmer who waits, whether it be for planting season or harvesting season, they learn to wait. They learn to be patient. They learn that eventually it's going to come. I just have to wait for it. And he says that's how you need to be with the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord will get here, but you need to be patient as you wait for it. And that's something that can be hard to do. Again, as we are in a society where we want things and we want them right now, it can be hard to develop this mindset that God wants us to have, where we look at our eternal reward and we say it may be years and years and years and years away, but that's okay. I know it's coming, and as long as I'm here on earth, I'm going to keep working towards that goal, and I'm going to be patient as I do so, and that's something really important for us to keep in mind. If you turn back to Hebrews 11, Moses gave us a really good example that's described here in Hebrews 11 of the wisdom and the foresight that is needed for us to be patient as we think about as we make choices here on earth about whether we're going to seek pleasure here and now, or we're going to seek to please God and receive an eternal reward. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 24, says there, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Some translations say the passing pleasures of sin. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." So many individuals, when looking at those passing pleasures of sin and looking at how long they're going to have to wait to receive an eternal reward, will have a very opposite mindset from what Moses is described as having here. So many individuals will look at those passing pleasures of sin and say, well, that can bring me something I'm longing for right here, right now. And that reward is going to take some time. If I'm going to live to please God, it's going to take some time to get to that. But notice the mindset that Moses had here, the foresight that he had, the patience that he had, as he said, I'm not going to live for these passing pleasures, but instead I'm going to live to please God and seek a reward that will come thereafter. And that's important for us to consider as we consider this idea of patience. But I want to switch gears now a little bit. And if we were to talk about patience in two very broad categories as the terms used in the Bible, we might have one category that is patience in our circumstances and the other category as patience with others. And I want to turn the attention now to looking at our need for patience with others. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, there the inspired writer says, "We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." When he says there, be patient toward all men, he's, in the context there, seems to be talking specifically about brethren, but this applies not just to our brethren. It applies to all individuals. We need to show patience toward them. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, we see how significant this is, particularly among brethren in the church. There in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about our treatment of one another and says we need to be treating each other with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And he goes on to point out in verse 3, part of the reason that's so significant, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity is something that is so important in the church. And he says, if you're going to have unity, you need to be long-suffering toward each other. You need to forbear one another. You need to be patient with one another. And that's what will result if we have the love for others that we should have. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, when he gives the description there of love, he starts out by saying love is patient, or charity suffers long. He goes on to say in verse 5, love is not easily provoked. And so if we truly love others as we should, it's going to lead us to be patient with them. And what patience with others is really about is it's about not being quick-tempered, not having a short fuse, we might say, not being hasty to make judgments with others, but waiting, giving others time, we might say, being patient with them as we help them to see things they need to see. For example, if you turn to Acts 26, in Acts 26, we'll look at a couple examples here of patience in action. I've titled it. It's looking at a couple of examples of situations in which patience with others is talked about to just help us understand better what patience with others looks like when it's put into practice. Acts 26 and verse 3. Here Paul is being tried before King Agrippa, and he pleads here with King Agrippa. He tells him, first of all, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, says, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. As you think about what Paul is saying here, when he says, I beseech you to hear me patiently, Agrippa was in a situation where he could have been very hasty with Paul. He could have let Paul get two words and then cut him off and stopped him. He could have rushed to judgment. He could have very quickly retaliated against Paul or become angry or provoked. But Paul was saying, please don't do that. Paul was saying, please give me time. Please hear me out. Please be forbearing. Please don't be easily provoked. And I think that helps us to see what patience looks like when it's put into practice with those we come in contact with. Another passage that helps us to see this is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. In 2 Timothy 2:24, here Paul is talking directly to Timothy, who was an evangelist who would be going out teaching others and receive a wide variety of different reactions and responses. But this is something that can apply. These principles here can apply to any discussion we have with others. It may be the need for showing patience with children or with coworkers or any situation we're in where we need to show patience with others. Think about the principles being taught here. He says, starting in verse 24 of 2 Timothy 2, it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient. And then verse 25 goes on to say, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So here Paul's saying to Timothy, when you are working with others, trying to help them see things, he says, be gentle. He says, be meek. He says, realize you're trying to help them recover out of the snare of the devil. And show that love toward them. Show that gentleness. Show that patience with them. Don't be quick to strive with them. Don't be quick to be provoked. Don't be hasty with them. But just be patient with them. And he wasn't saying here that if somebody has unrepentant sin, we should minimize the seriousness of that and just say, well, it's not a big deal. You can continue in that for a little while and just be patient with that. That's not what he's talking about. But when we communicate with others and others don't react immediately like we would like them to, that doesn't mean that we can't do any good. That doesn't mean that they may not be thinking about what's being said. That doesn't mean that they may not be working towards a point of growing or developing, learning something they need to learn. But sometimes it takes time. It doesn't happen instantly. And instead of wanting it to just be an instant response, we need to be patient with others. I think that's one application of this word patience as it's used and seen there in 2 Timothy 2:24. So we need to be patient in our own circumstances, but we also need to show patience toward others. And if we really love others as we should, really care about others as we should, that's going to come out as we treat them with patience. But one last point that I want to make about patience. Sometimes the hardest person to be patient with can be ourselves. Sometimes, especially if we are very conscientious, we're people who are constantly examining ourselves and trying to grow and trying to improve, we can have a temptation to become impatient with ourselves. And so one more point that I want to make is that we need to be patient with our learning and our growth. It's interesting if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul says something very interesting here in this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. Paul here was introducing the topic of eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols and asking the question, is this acceptable or not acceptable? And he started out there in verse 1 by saying, concerning this, we know that we all have knowledge. He says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. In other words, I think what he's saying here is there are some of you who have the knowledge that you understand that there's nothing wrong in itself of eating this meat, but you've become puffed up by that. And instead of having charity where you're seeking to edify others, you are allowing this knowledge to puff you up, and you're starting to take on this attitude that you're better than others because of this knowledge. And so he goes on and follows that up in verse 2 by saying, if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Now, if we stop and think about that statement for a moment, any man that thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. In other words, those individuals who start to gain a little knowledge and start to think, as these Corinthians, at least some of them, were doing here, we've got this all figured out, and start to become puffed up in their knowledge, Paul says those are the individuals who really have the most to learn. And this is something that we can understand to be true as we study the Bible. The more that we study and the more that we learn, the more we see how much more there is to study and how much more there is to learn. And it's a continuous growth process as we learn throughout our lives. And I'm not talking about first principles such as what does someone need to do to become a Christian. That's something that can be learned in one sermon, and it was in different examples in the New Testament. But Peter says that there are some things that are harder to be understood, and there are some things in Scripture that are more difficult to understand. They can be understood, but they take more studying. But the point that I'm making here is the more that we study and the more that we learn, the more we see how much more there is to study and how much more there is to learn. And it can be tempting to become impatient with ourselves and to feel like, I got to learn all this right now. I gotta learn everything in the Bible right away. And it just doesn't work that way. We have to be patient with ourselves. Christianity is a growth process. Christianity is something that involves growing in knowledge and growing in character throughout our entire lives as long as we're here on earth. It's interesting in Philippians 3:12, when you think about the strength of character that Paul had and the faith that Paul had and how important he was in his role of helping others as he did in so many situations. It's amazing to think that even Paul himself said in Philippians 3:12, it's not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Notice he says there, it's not that I already attained, either were already perfect. I think what he's getting at there is, I've still got room for growth. As long as I'm here on this earth, I've still got room for development. I've still got room for improvement. And that's true of every single one of us. And again, I'm not talking about unrepentant sin, thinking, well, eventually maybe I'll repent of that. That's not what we're talking about. If we have unrepentant sin, we can and should repent immediately. But we're talking about growing in character, growing in knowledge, growing continuously to become more like Christ. That's something that takes place throughout our entire lives, and we need to be patient with ourselves as we learn and as we grow to become what God would have us to be. And so when you come to Hebrews 12:1, after the Hebrew writer gives those examples, he started out in chapter 10 and verse 36 by saying, you have need of patience. He went through in chapter 11 and gave all kinds of examples of people who were patient, people who endured. And then he comes to chapter 12 and verse 1 and says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Each one of us has a race set before us, and we need to run it with patience. And I hope that this lesson can help us to better understand what that means and how we can do that. There might be some here this afternoon who are not yet Christians. and might wonder why it would be worth it to give your life to the Lord for a reward that may not come for many, many, many years. But as we've seen brought out in Scripture, we need to have patience as we wait for our reward. And think about what was said there when it gave the example of Moses in Hebrews 11. Moses gave up passing pleasures of sin. Moses gave up pleasures that lasted a moment, pleasures that were very, very brief. He gave that up because he was looking to something beyond that. And we need to have the mindset where we look beyond those momentary pleasures and see that if we choose to serve God, we'll be able to spend eternity in heaven with him. And think about the difference between eternity and a moment that so many seek to find pleasure in. Think about the difference between those and the difference in value between those. And that can help us to understand why it's more than worth it for us to choose to serve God. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, but you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that, you're willing to repent of your sins and be buried in baptism for the remission of sins, to arise to walk in newness of life, we'd encourage you to let that be known. If you are a Christian, but you're struggling with something else in your life that you would like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. In either case, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?